Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Dynamic growth, balanced income, select growth and income. The 401k solution, disciplined equity. These are the KPP Financial investment programs designed to meet your goals and life situations. See more about them on investtalk.com. Click on the Investments tab. End of commercial, and now today's Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Invest Talk. It is March 23rd, 2016. And as you know, our goal is always the same: above average investing for the average investor. We're here to help you avoid the mistakes of the average investor. That's the job. And this is, you know, this is often the difference between seeing your account grow and or experiencing big setbacks. I mean, you know, being better, trying to understand what's going on in the market, the economy, and adjust it. Well, not saying buying and selling all the time, but make some adjustments. For instance, the housing sector is staying pretty strong, mainly being buoyed by the sales in the Western United States on the West Coast. And generally, we pay more attention to housing than in the past. There was a time when a drop in housing prices was pretty much unthinkable, and at least, you know, very unlikely, especially in the high-flying California market. That this market is very dynamic. Well, the housing sales market is doing fine. The broader trends of the housing market are changing. I mean, recent housing news set pointed the way to weakness in home ownership. No longer the formula of traditional marriage, home, family, that formula is kind of breaking down a little bit. The millennials are getting married later in life, starting a family later, not so compelled to buy a house, doing that later. And they don't want to be piling on more debt on top of the debt from college. So the housing market is changing a little. I'm not talking about dramatic, but it is changing. The demographic is changing. Baby boomers, who used to be the big buyers and buy up and buy bigger, now are thinking about maybe we should downsize a little bit. And that's going to change the outlook of housing. No one really knows for sure what that change is going to be, but there are differences, and I just want to point them out. And just like in the housing market, other markets are the same. The oil market. You know, what is that changing? The food sector of the stock market. You know, banking sectors. Things change over time. Things, they change, and sectors fall down, and then other sectors lead the way. And you, as an investor, whether you're buying your own home or investing in the stock market, really need to be attuned to that change, that changing thing. And it's hard. I'm not pointing out that it's easy. It's not. It's difficult, but you still have to do it. So, do you have a question about changes, maybe in real estate? A home, maybe as an investor or a homeowner, doesn't matter. 888-99-CHARTER is our anytime number. You can call right now. So let's go to this question that came in before the show.
Hey, Justin. Hey, Steve. This is Chris from Washington, D.C., podcast listener. The question I had for you was, are there any indicators other just than randomly looking at prices around us in our everyday lives that the economy is facing inflationary versus deflationary pressures? And if it was a deflationary scenario, what sort of investments would you recommend in that environment? Okay, thanks a lot. Really appreciate the show.
Okay, yeah. There's things you can look at. There's two parts of inflation in our economy, and that is labor inflation and price inflation. And you want to look at labor inflation and price inflation to get a hint of what's going on. We are starting to see a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit of hint of price inflation. And you can do that with the CPI, the PPI, Consumer Price Index, the Producer Price Index. And there's other inflation indicators that you can look at. To look at that. And then you want to look at the labor market. If the labor market is getting tight, and there's little indications that there might be, then you'll start to see increase in wages. And you saw that last year, a little bit increase in wages. So it's kind of hinting that we're having, I'm just saying hinting, we're not there yet, hinting that the inflation might be picking up a little bit. Just a little, not a tremendous amount, but those are things you look at. Remember, it's wages. And how do you look at wages? You look at, well, what's the unemployment rate? What is the average work week? Is that getting longer or shorter? And then salaries for those people, are they increasing, decreasing, staying the same? And only recently, in this recent last year or so, have we seen a little uptick in, finally, salaries. So that's the things you would look at. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. Bond laddering combines the safety of short-term bonds with higher yields of longer-term bonds. Managing a laddered bond portfolio. Is that a good idea to have a laddered bond portfolio? Do you know what it is? We're going to talk about it today. Also, have you seen the New York Car Show had rivals of Tesla out in force here just over the last weekend? Tesla wasn't even there at the car show. Tesla doesn't have to be there. But there's a lot of, I wanted to bring this up and I want to talk about it a little bit because of competition. Tesla's not going to be the only one out there. There's going to be competition. Treasuries rose their highest point in a number of weeks. Yields were down sharply today. I'm going to talk about why is that happening? Why are the bonds? And I give you a little comparison of our bonds compared to German bonds. And why is it happening? And I think it's pretty common sense why it's happening. But I want to point it out anyways, and we'll talk about it. And again, I wanted to talk about inflation last week. So we're going to talk about it today. I think we'll get to it today. Is inflation accelerating and how to look for it? What are the numbers? So that's what we're going to discuss. What's on your mind, though? What do you want to talk about? I'll talk about anything that's on your mind. The market today was down. The Dow was down 79. Now they had 2 days in a row, the Dow down. After 7 days or so of being up, the NASDAQ was down 53, and the S&P down 13. The NASDAQ on a percentage basis was down twice as much as the Dow and the S&P 500. So the NASDAQ really got crunched today. And that kind of goes along with my theme that this year it's the value stocks are going to work, not the growth stocks. And why do I say NASDAQ being down twice as much kind of goes with my theme? Because the NASDAQ is full of high growth stocks. That's what it's known for. And if you look at a chart, you can see that its recovery from the low is not nearly as good as the recovery from the low for the S&P and the Dow. Whereas the S&P and the Dow have made it back close to, at least a couple days ago, close to their 2016 highs that when it started the year, the NASDAQ didn't make it to the highs. And now it's going down twice as much today as the other two. So it kind of, the growth stocks are no longer leading the way. And that is still a concern of mine for the overall market for this year. It's a concern. And it should be a concern of yours too. Because history has told us over and over and over and over again, usually growth stocks lead the way on a bull market phase. Now that we're late in our economic cycle, growth stocks don't tend not to lead the way. They tend not to lead the way in a later economic cycle. How late are we in this economic cycle? In other words, when will it turn down? No one really knows. But it is, much later. Remember, started in 2009. So you're just going to have to be very extra careful, okay? Now, I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk. And the show is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, our firm. You're invited to our upcoming free wealth webinar. It's set for 6:30, April 13th. It's called Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. This is a pretty popular topic at our last Saturday morning wealth conference, so webinar. So I hope you can join in. It's free, But you do have to sign up by going to investtalk.com and click on the investment tab.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. This is Bruce from New York. Thank you for the excellent advice you gave us yesterday regarding the best way to preserve gains in overvalued stocks. In this case, it was Facebook. I have another question regarding the market's changing preference from growth stocks to value stocks. It has changed my game plan by creating unintended capital gain opportunities in stocks I bought for income. I bought AT&T, symbol T, and Corrections Corp of America, symbol CXW, for income. I am now looking at capital gains of 18 to 21% on these equities due to the market's changing preferences. So the question is it wise to ignore these gains and stay on plan, or revalue these as stocks to sell? I look forward to your advice. Thanks again for all the advice. Bye.
Well, that's a pretty tough question, because the market has switched to more of a value orientation from a growth. And he pointed out two stocks that are pretty value oriented. AT&T has done very, very well. And I must admit that we sold AT&T because of the capital gains. But it depends on your plan. If you want to hold on to these for 10 years, then you can just ignore it, because you're probably getting a very high yield. Because even at right now, today's AT&T, the yield that it is at 5%, the stock is $38.54, and it was at $34 just, you know, a month and a half, 2 months ago. So, you know, that's a pretty nice jump. And at the same time, you're getting 5%. Maybe you're getting 5.5-6% when you bought it lower. My personal preference here, if it's in a non-taxable account, in other words, if your capital gains are not taxed, it's in an IRA, the holding, that I would be more prone to take the gain and wait for a pullback, because you'll probably get one in these two, and either one of these two stocks. And then that's how I do it. In a taxable account, I would have to consider that carefully, because you're still getting that high yield. And yeah, if it corrects 10%, you know, that's a pretty tough call. You can make up that 10% in 2 years with a dividend of 5%, you know, but if it's a long-term position hold, a core holding, I think you just hold on to it and stick with your plan. Yeah, it's always dangerous to take capital gains and then the stock doesn't pull back for you to get it back in. And, you know, you had to pay capital gains tax. Yeah, so my gut feeling is maybe hold on to them unless they're in a non-taxable account. And maybe I would take some of the gains and hope for a pullback to buy back into it. That's a tough call, though. A tough question. It sounds like an easy question, but it's not. It's a difficult, difficult question. We have to go through these kinds of issues all the time. You know, do we sell this big blue chip stock that we've had for a long, long time and now it looks really overpriced? Or do we just hold on to it and ignore the fall? And if we feel, it also goes to how bad the market might become. Are we moving into a recession? How bad will the market be? You got to make that kind of judgment call too. It's tough. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and this is our 1 hour conference call about your money, everybody's money. I'm open to any money questions you might have. 888-99-CHART.
Understand how to evaluate some of the oil stocks.
Got a question for Steve or Justin? You're the best person to ask it at 888-99-CHART. And now's the best time.
888-992-4278. Whatever on your mind, we'll talk about, as long as it's financial. Let's talk to John in Palo Alto. How you doing, John?
Good. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Good. I just want to get your opinion on stock symbol CBSN. It's a penny stock. It looks like it did pretty well today, but I have a small position in it. But just want to know your thoughts looking down the road. Looks like they got a clearance on FDA some of their devices. Just wanted your take on that.
Okay, just in general, John, penny stocks generally go out of business. About 80% or higher go out of business. So it's really high risk. It's not going to make any money. It's never made any money. Sales have increased from 400,000 a quarter to about 600,000 a quarter. It's a $32 million company. So it's really, it's a micro cap. And I would be very, very, this is like going to Vegas, John. It's not, you might hit a home run. It could go from 28 cents to 50 cents, and man, you just doubled your money, And it could do that in a heartbeat. Then it could go out of business in a heartbeat, too. It could go up to $4. You never know. It's been as high as $10. It's what I call a story stock. If everybody believes the story, things are all good. If the story turns sour, the company goes out of business. So you got to be really, really careful. I never recommend any of these stocks as investments because of that. It's a story stock, and it's a question of how good the story is. So I don't think, if you have a profit in it, I'd take it and run. That'd be my point of view. But if you want to, as long as you do, I tell people, if you want to take a big chance like this, just do it with the amount of money you don't mind losing. Don't do it with a lot of money. Right. Do with a little bit of money.
Right. That's where I'm at. Just a small position. I did come up about 60% of gains on it. Mm-hmm. But I was just wondering your thoughts on it. So.
Yeah, I don't recommend these kinds of stocks, John. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. GBSN, Great Basin Scientific, is the name of the company, everybody. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So do you know what a ladder is? A bond ladder. A bond ladder is very, very simple. It's for those people looking for income, don't want the exposure of the market, or want to diversify away from the exposure of the market. You can do it by buying bonds. And in buying the bonds, you can what we call ladder them to also give you further diversification with a maximum income coming in from those bonds. So how you do it? Well, you can build a ladder any length of ladder you want. And that length means time. You can go from 1 to 10 years, 1 to 30 years, 1 to 5 years. And what you do is you buy a short-term bond, maybe due in a year, and then another one due in 2 years, and then another one buying 3 years, and another one in 4 years. And so now you have a four-year ladder. And when that bond comes due in the first year, you ladder it out to the 4 years, the long length of time. Because the longer you ladder out, the higher yields you'll get. But then again, the longer the bond maturity date, the more susceptible it is to interest rate swings. The shorter it is, the less susceptible it is. So, in the this day and age where the interest rates are very low, you kind of don't want to go out really far. Because as interest rates rise, you're not going to be able to get that benefit by reinvesting into higher and higher yields because you've got very long maturity dates. So that's the good thing about ladders. You always have maturity coming. And not too far. And if interest rates start to rise, you can start to increase your ladder slowly. Now, that's what a bond ladder is. Now, you can also buy different risks of bonds. If you buy U.S. Treasury bonds, and use bills, bonds, and treasuries in the U.S. government, backed by the full faith of the U.S. government, there's virtually no risk. That bond will always, you'll get your money back and you'll get your yield. Now, if you buy a junk bond ladder, now you have much higher risk. The ladder will pay you more dividend yield, more yield from the bond. They'll pay a higher interest rate because there's more risk. But in this day and age, the junk bond interest rate is not very high when compared to historical junk bond interest rates. And the junk bond market fell hard all last year. It just recently started to recover, but it's still very unhealthy, the junk bond market. So I kind of like the best of both worlds right now maybe you should buy high-quality corporate bonds, you know, really high-quality corporate bonds, and therefore you'll get very low default risk and more money on the yield than you would if you bought treasuries, where there is no default risk. But again, that goes to you. How much risk do you want to take? That's a bond ladder. I kind of like those for people in retirement because you certainly can't get money, can't make any money in savings or CDs. The Federal Reserve have made that impossible. You're listening to Invest Talk. Is there a money topic you'd like to bring up? 888-99-CHARTER is our anytime number. You can call it right now.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. On the next Invest Talk, Americans who retire or change jobs face one of the most important questions of their financial lives. What should you put in your rollover IRA? That's our main talking point on the next Invest Talk. Join us then. Continue now with the Wednesday, March 23rd Invest Talk. Do you have a money question? We're here to help. 888-99-CHART is how to get through anytime.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Shakar in San Jose. How are you doing, Shakar?
I'm doing good. Thanks for taking the question.
Thank you.
I wanted to know about IQNT IntelliQuant. Mm-hmm.
Okay, are you thinking about buying it?
Actually, I hold it, and I've been holding it for a while, and uh-huh. It seems like it's been moving in a range for a long time. It doesn't cross 20, and then it goes back down, so I just don't know what to do with it.
IntelliQuant is a $500 million company, so that's a small cap, pretty small company, not a micro cap, but a small company, and provides voice telecommunication services primarily on a wholesale basis using an all-IP network. It's growing its sales. It's growing its earnings. They made $1.26. They're going to make $1.26 this year. That's 12% higher than last year. And $1.58 next year. Pays a dividend of 4.1%. It's not overly expensive at 13 PE. Sales are, you know, mixed this year, but recently, in the recent two quarters, have done quite a, you know, the sales have jumped. So the question is, why is the stock so bad? Because it keeps falling. It's not doing anything. It got up to about $22, $23 in October. But a year ago, it was selling around $15, $16. Today, it's at $14.66. And it's growing its earnings and sales. And I think what you're seeing is these stocks, as I've been saying, are just not in favor. The market is changing. It's looking at more value-oriented stocks. And this one is cheap enough to be qualify as a value play, but it just doesn't seem to be able to get any traction. Mutual funds have been slowly buying it. I'm at a loss to explain, Shakar, why it's not moving up, because the numbers tell you it should, but it's not.
Okay.
I would probably, if it doesn't start recovering, I wouldn't let it. What is your buy point? How much did you pay for it?
18.
Yeah. Let me go to a weekly chart. See if I can see something different. Yeah. Okay. This is about the area it should hold. Right around, you know, $14 is where it should hold and bounce up. I think I would hold it unless it broke below 14. If it breaks below 14, I think you got to give up. Just something wrong.
Okay. Thanks
for the call. It's a tough one. This is a tough one, everybody. Sales are growing and earnings are growing. It's not overly priced. You know, return on equity is 23%. Those are good numbers. But again, it's a growth stock and I think growth stocks are just going to have a tough time. That doesn't mean that some of them won't work. Of course, a lot of them will work. But I think growth is just going to be difficult in 2016. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. Tesla, there's an auto show in New York came out. there was a ton of electric cars and hybrid cars coming out, all trying to compete with Tesla. Tesla wasn't even a no-show. Now, just so you know, in 2015, the electric cars had their lowest market share ever. I don't want to say ever, since 2011, because, you know, ever is too long ago. But since 2011, so the last 4 or 5 years, they've gone down. And obviously it might be for last year because of the low price of oil, gasoline. Tesla themselves reported record deliveries of cars, electric cars, last year. So, and they're coming out with their Model 3, which is their mid-market car, mid-market, about $35,000. And it's supposed to come out, start to order at the end of this month. However, Toyota came out with their new Prius Prime. It gets 600 miles on a fill-up, because it's a hybrid gas electric. And it's $24,000. $24,000. Pretty good. Hyundai has came out with three new vehicle lineup. Zero emission cars. Hyundai. And then Nissan came out with the GTR, their sports car. What you're seeing is, you're seeing a lot more car companies coming out with competition that Ford is going to be all pointed at Tesla. They're not going to let Tesla run away with it. Now, Tesla is still by far the leader, but they're not going to let them run away with it. And I can't tell you, I saw some analysts downgrade Tesla, and you don't get too many downgrades in Tesla, from analysts. But I saw one downgraded today, so I thought that was pretty interesting. Does that mean you shouldn't buy Tesla? I'm not even, the whole point is not about Tesla. The whole point is about competition. No company can survive, will be allowed in a healthy market to run away with no competition. Look at Apple. Think about Apple when they came out with the new phone with no keyboard. Who came? Then you had, how many other companies came out and copied them? Now look at their competition. See, so no company gets to run away without competition coming. And Tesla's had the lead for quite some time, and they still do. And they may continue, but competition's going to get stiffer, just going to get tougher. So, I'm going to have to look at the new Toyota Prius Prime. I'd like to see with that car. And that Nissan GTR sports sedan, I want to see that car. I haven't seen it. We'll see. Let's get back to our 24-hour anytime listener line. You can call whenever you want to, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, I'm calling to get your opinion on Starbucks. I've got some shares, and I've done pretty well with it, but it's been moving down recently. And I don't know if this is just a pullback and it's still going to head back up after this, or if this is a good place to get out if you think that it's starting to move further down. Thank you.
Personally, I probably sell Starbucks at this point. Still, it's a great company. It's a $87 billion company. It's going to earnings are going to go up 20% this year, another 16% next year. Sales are going to be between 10 and 15% growth quarter over quarter. But the P.E. ratio is 36. And my theme, if I'm right, tells me that, this is a growth stock that's pretty much maxed out its growth. How much more can it grow? It's like Apple. How much more can you grow? You can't, when you get so big. They have 23,000 coffee shops worldwide. 15,000 of them in the U.S. Well, I'm just saying, the law of large numbers catches up with you. At some point, they can't grow this fast. And then the market is going to say, okay, if you're not that fast of a grower, now you're a big blue chip stock, and you're going to get a big blue chip P.E. ratio, and that's no more than about 15, and right now it's at 36. So I think, which is near the top of its five-year range, I think it's time to take money off the table for Starbucks. It doesn't mean you sell out all of it, but I certainly would take money off the table. I love Starbucks, even though I don't drink coffee, everybody. I love their concept. I love what they've done. I mean, they took drinking coffee to, they convinced people that it's a place to go hang out. Drinking coffee is the in thing to do, and you do it at a Starbucks. You got to have your Starbucks. And they've convinced the brand, they branded it to convince you of that, convince the start drink your coffee drinkers. And what a great job they've done in branding their coffee. And they convince everybody it's the greatest coffee since, you know, beginning of time. And I don't know. I don't know anything about coffee. Maybe it is. I don't care. They've convinced you, and they've grown a company, huge company, by doing so. Pretty smart people. Time for Invest Talk 101, investing basics that can build your portfolio. Let's talk about looking for strong stocks. Fundamentally strong stocks are not hard to find. These companies will always have superior earnings, a solid balance sheet, stable array of products or services for sale, and what becomes difficult is knowing when to buy them, and then harder yet, when to sell them. Like Starbucks, right? Some of the specific fundamental numbers we like here at KPP Financial, I like a return on equity about 17% or higher. I like low or no debt. I like the growth in sales and earnings, some kind of growth. I like some. There are many other numbers that we like to analyze and we like, but these are some of the basics. And for different kinds of stocks, there's going to be different number characteristics. It's not all the same. For instance, you generally want to own a company with low or no debt. But that makes no sense, none, when you're talking about a bank. They borrow money. That's how they make money, by borrowing and lending money. They're going to have debt. So you can't just look at it in a vacuum. You can't. Got to understand the sector that you're in, what their characteristic is for that sector. I also like the growth rate of the company to be higher than the P.E. ratio, but can't always get that. You know, now that we're moving to the value side of the market, the market is moving to the value side of the equities market, investors and traders want that, then, you know, you're not going to get a lot of high growth in relationship to the PE. You want low PE. That's where you focus. Not on growth, you focus on value. Anyways, and a small company is going to grow a lot faster than a big company. It better. Why, you know, if it doesn't, you shouldn't be interested. So it's all these different characteristics, different nuances that you have to decipher. And it's not easy. And software does help, but that's not the final answer either. Do you have a question about evaluating stocks? Why not ask us? 888-99-CHART. You can reach us right now.
As an InvestTalk insider, you have access to investment resources that come straight from the desks of professional investors, special watch lists, the webinar archive. That gives you access to a broad range of hour-long lessons about how to invest successfully. Sign up for free on InvestTalk.com. Just click on the InvestTalk tab.
Hi, Stephen. Justin, it's Jim in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm a podcast listener, listening to you guys every day. I had a question about Heritage Insurance, symbol HRTG. It looks like it's fallen pretty hard, and it's about to recover. But I look at the fundamentals, they look pretty good to me, but it looks like there's a lot of insider selling lately. I just wondered if you could look at it and give me your thoughts on it, if you'd buy it, and if you would, at what price. Really appreciate it. Enjoy your show a lot. Thanks a lot.
Heritage Insurance, HRTG, it's a $476 million company, so it's a small cap, offers personal, commercial, residential insurance, single-family homeowners, condominium ownership, and he mentioned that there's a lot of insider selling. Well, it came an IPO at $11 in June, around June of 2014, June of 2014, went up to $26. 11 to 26, and that was June of last year. And today it's at $15.64. Well, they made, the first year they made $1.57, 2014. Then $3.05 in 2015. This year they're going to make $2.82. So the stock got hit. And the next year they're supposed to rebound to $3.35. Sales were a year ago were running 100 to 150% growth every quarter. The most recent growth, sales were up 19%. So the stock got hit. It's a $15.64 stock, going to make $2.82 this year and $3.35 next year. Very inexpensive, right? Very inexpensive based on that those numbers. But it got hit big time at the beginning of March. I mean, two-day period, I have a feeling that they had some, they missed their numbers. And if you're looking at the December quarter, which would win, you know, the most recent one they have, they had made the same amount of money earnings-wise as the quarter before. So I have a feeling it's the numbers, that they missed their numbers, the growth numbers, the sales numbers, and that's why it got hit. Now, if you want to own it, you have it's a value stock, so you, at this point, it's a small cap, so it's going to be pretty volatile, and it has been pretty volatile. It's shown you that. You need to wait for it to recover. You don't buy this until it's recovered. If you own it, you know, if you still own it, you sell it when it breaks the most recent lows of about a week ago at $14.80. You get out. Give up. If it breaks below that, you get out and give up because it's still in a downward trend. You want to see the trend reverse. And you have, and if it breaks below that most recent low, that means the trend is still very strong downward. So that's what I would do. Let's go to BJ in Fremont. How you doing, BJ?
I'm good. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you for the call.
I wanted to see your opinion about Nike. It's a good, solid company with a consistent performance, but looks like it's a little expensive at this point. What do you think?
Okay. Nike is like Starbucks. Genius people to convince you to buy their tennis shoes based on the different athletes using their tennis shoes. Just smart marketing. Remember, they're tennis shoes. They're cheap to make. They've sold everybody on the brand, and you got to give them credit for that. That's just great. I would say it's like Starbucks. It's very expensive. It's deserved to be very expensive, and this is the stocks that had high growth, high cost. I mean, we're talking about a 30 PE. The range of the PE is 17 to 34. So I'm thinking, you know, they're probably going to go sideways for a while. There's no reason for this company. There's every reason for it to go down closer to market PE and no reason for it to continue to rise because sales have been slow in the 4 or 5% range. It's nothing major. So I would probably, if you own it, I would probably exit it. Our Invest Talk anytime number is 888-99-CHART. I'm here to answer your questions. Any money questions, 888-99-CHART. I just complained about Nike and Starbucks saying that they're overpriced. But I also started off the conversation on both those companies that they're great companies, great management. And if those companies got cheap, I'd be the first person to want to buy them. But they're not. They're expensive. This is not the year to buy expensive stocks. I mean, of course there will be stocks that are expensive that will work, of course. But I think you need to be leaning on the value side. And I've said that probably too many times, but you really do. Okay, I don't know if you noticed, but the Treasury, 10-year Treasury yield spiked today. Now, and spike is all relative, but it did spike. 10-year Treasury, you know what our Treasury yield, how much that is? How much does a 10-year bond, U.S. bond, pay you to own it per year? It pays you 1.873% per year. 1.87% per year. That's a little bit below inflation rate, just so you know. So you're losing money every year. If you had a two-year note, it's 0.85%. A 30-year U.S. Treasury pays 2.6%. Per year, you're going to get 2.6%, then all your money back after 30 years. And you think, wow, that's hardly anything. What if inflation picks up? What if, remember you're talking about 30 years or 10 years. But think about what they pay in Germany and in Europe. In Germany, the 10-year bond in Germany, remember, ours pays 1.8%. In Germany, it pays 0.19% 0.19% 0.19% For 10 years, you're going to get less than our money markets pay. You have to hold on to it 10 years. So why did our bonds, why did they get the bonds, the bond yields get pushed down so much? Well, probably, number one, we're getting a lot of buyers from Europe because they can't make anything on theirs. But more likely, the Fed's change in policy. Remember they said they were going to raise the rates maybe four times this year back in December? And then last week they said, maybe only two times this year. Well, that change changes how people look at these things. So the Fed's not going to raise rates. It makes the treasuries, the longer-term treasuries, more attractive. People buy. So, and of course, our treasuries look very attractive to a lot of foreigners. Think of the safety of our dollar, the safety of our economy, and the high, we're paying high yields. Let's give the last word to a caller who left their question before today's program. Our 24-hour listen line is always open, 888-99-CHART.
I'd like to know your opinion on a stock called Terra Nitrogen, TNH. Thank you so much. I enjoy your program. Bye-bye.
Okay, TNH used to be, a few years ago, it was a favorite of everybody, Terra Nitrogen, because they were making so much money. Manufactures fertilizers, including ammonia, nitrate, you know, those kind of things for farmers, you know, to help yield crop yields and quality of crops go up. It's a $1.9 billion company. Now, their sales have been very erratic in the last 2 years, every quarter. This last quarter, they were down 10% sales. The quarter before that was up 11. The quarter before that was down 8. The quarter before that was down 29. The quarter before that was flat. Very erratic sales. And so the stock has gotten beat up over the last couple of years. Okay? Now, I like it. Now, I don't know if the dividend will continue to increase. The dividend is 10.9%. I don't know if that's going to continue. But they have very strong cash flow of $18 a share. And it's a $105 stock. So the P.E. ratio is pretty darn low. And it looks like it has put in a bottom 2-3 months ago. Then it retested that bottom a month ago. And it looks like it's putting in a long-term bottom. And you want to buy the value stocks, and this probably is a good value at this point. Now, you might have to be patient, but while you're patient, you're getting a pretty decent dividend. Our time is up. A reminder, our live webinar is coming up on April 13th, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific Time, Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. It's free, but you do need to sign up at investtalk.com. So just click on the Invest Talk tab and sign up. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP, thank you for listening today. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.